Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We're covering breaking news, culture, pneumatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. That's exactly what we're going through. Check this out. We've been covering this for a while, but I don't think it's escalated to this point. So we're going to explain what SWIFT is, but think about SWIFT as one of the largest payment networks in the world that banks often use specifically to send money internationally, right? Apparently it came out, and we're going to dive into the details because, you know, of course, like the clickbaity articles was like, oh my God, like Binance got cut off from SWIFT and whatever, but we're going to dive deep into that. And apparently they set limits to over $100,000. And that really leaves out the little guy. So we have the details. Specifically, it relates to one bank. But if that in itself was just the news, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. I don't think I would have covered it. But this is just a continuation of this pattern that we've started to notice, right? Which is, it's not just SWIFT. It's not just specifically the bank is called Signature, right? It's not just these two entities. It's also other banks as well, including Wells Fargo, including Banks of America, that have continuously shut down the accounts. And I've heard this story many times on Twitter. Maybe, you know, some of you guys watching have been affected by this, that they've closed down the accounts of people, of Bitcoin businesses that are doing banking with them, and also people that are just buying Bitcoin in general, right? And that's a very scary pattern. And now if you think about it, right, this is one of the weak points, right? It's the on and off ramps, right? So if for whatever reason, right, this could potentially be an issue in the future, banks just don't allow you, which is a crazy concept if you think about it, right? We the people, you know, that are holding your money, we don't allow you to use your money in a certain way, right? So is this pattern going to continue? I would make the argument that it will. And if it does, right, I think, you know, it's something to consider, probably the peer-to-peer aspect of Bitcoin, right? And the peer-to-peer aspect of Bitcoin, you have to understand, guys, that's how most people around the world, right, they transact in Bitcoin, right? These Telegram chats, you know, BISC is also a really popular one, and they transact Bitcoin peer-to-peer. Obviously, you know, we don't want it to allow to get to that point. Corey wrote an amazing article, right? You know, the race to avoid the war. This is what the race is all about. We must have a big adoption of Bitcoin in, you know, and specifically the United States and developed countries, specifically in countries where people are accustomed to using their bank accounts to grow their stack, right? We need this adoption in order to avoid this potentially in the future, but it is a very troubling pattern. And then it makes you ask the question, right? It makes you ask the question, like, is it really your money if a bank or a government is telling you what you can and what you can't do with that money? Now, fine, you could make the moral case, you know, buying, you know, narcotics or buying, you know, illegal things, whatever. You can make the case that, okay, you know, maybe that's justifiable. Maybe, right? But is it really, really dangerous? Like, is it really, really dangerous that, is it really, really dangerous? How is it dangerous? How does it affect anybody that you're using your fiat money, your state money that you worked for, and you're using that money to buy Bitcoin? Who does that hurt, really? Is that hurting anybody? Right? Like, why are they stopping this in the first place? Right? So that's a very interesting question. We're going to talk about it. But first, I want to let up my awesome co-host. How you doing, Opti? How you doing?
What's up, Nico? Hello, world. How are you guys doing today? Another day in paradise. Another day giving you guys signal on Simply Bitcoin. So I'm excited for this one. And man, I'm excited to hear an awesome Nico Jones rant on the news segment today. You already know it's coming. Like I said, anytime Nico gives a 4-minute pre-context to the show, it's going to be a lit show. And on the culture today, I think I mentioned this article that I'm covering when I told you guys that I read the Brain's mining pamphlet or mining book. I forget what the title is. Well, I found the article online, and it's a simple explanation of what Bitcoin mining is. And I'm just tired of consistently hearing that the computers are solving complex math problems and my energy use and stuff. So we're gonna give a very simple explanation of what Bitcoin mining is for the new people in the back. Boom. Anyways, let's go.
All right, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, the Bitcoin price at the time of recording is 22,920 sats per dollar, 4,367 just changed, block height 773,261, reachable Bitcoin nodes 14,332, blocks of the halving 66,739, halving estimate April 25th, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity 5,243, capacity value $120 million US dollars, realized monetary inflation 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin $441 billion with a B. Anyways, during the numbers segment, I want to talk about this. So Janet Yellen, which is the current US Treasury Secretary, also former Fed chair, that's never happened before in US history, by the way. It's never happened where a former Fed chair then becomes the U.S. secretary, because supposedly, or how it's supposed to work, is that the Fed is supposed to be separate, right? But this is, I think, another example of the revolving door in D.C. Anyways, so check this out. Secretary Janet Yellen said, since 1789, the U.S. has always paid all of its bills. The knowledge that we can be trusted and counted on to do that underlines the foundations of the entire global financial system. Default would cause widespread damage to the U.S. economy. Now, here's the thing. That's a lie. But let's play the clip, and then we'll talk about it. And there's some awesome Bitcoiners, which is, this is the power of the internet. This is when I tell you guys that every single one of you has agency. Every single one of you can contribute to this fight, to this peaceful revolution. The way that you do that in the era of the internet, in this weird type of informational warfare that we're all kind of living and experiencing, is by tweeting, it's by liking, it's by engaging, it's by promoting Bitcoin content, getting the truth out there, getting that stuff out there. Before, there would have been no ability for the average everyday person or pleb, right, to actually speak their mind to these very powerful individuals. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, the power, without getting into any of the conspiracy theory stuff, but a lot of these powerful cantillionaire class wants to label a lot of information misinformation. Is if it doesn't fit their narrative, right, all of a sudden you're somehow misinformation. Anyways, so let's check out the clip, and then let's fact check the fact checkers, shall we?
Just quote that letter that you are referring to just a little bit. Failure to meet the government's obligations would cause irreparable harm to the United States economy, the livelihoods of all Americans, and global financial stability. So, in brief, what kind of irreparable harm, and particularly for American households, how would average American households experience this?
The United States is a country that since 1789 has always paid all of its bills. And the knowledge that the U.S. government can be trusted and counted on to do that underlies the foundations, really, of the entire global financial system. U.S. Treasury securities are the safest investment on the planet, and we would certainly experience at a minimum a downgrading of our debt. If that happened, our borrowing costs would increase, and every American would see that their borrowing costs would increase as well. on top of that, a failure to make payments that are due, whether it's to bondholders or to Social Security recipients or to our military, would undoubtedly cause a recession in the U.S. economy and could cause a global financial crisis. It would certainly undermine the role of the dollar as a reserve currency that is used in transactions all over the world. And Americans would, many people would lose their jobs, and certainly their borrowing costs would rise.
All right, so, you know, that's what she said, right? That the U.S. has never defaulted on its debt. By the way, the part of, you know, not being able to you know, raise the debt ceiling and all the consequences of that, specifically to the U.S. economy, to people's faith in the dollar, she's absolutely spot on that. But what the consequences of that would be, right? But the idea that the U.S. has never defaulted on its debt, that's not true, right? Here's Pierre Richard. We recently had him last week on Simply Bitcoin IRL. Big fan. Since 1789, the U.S. Treasury has defaulted at least five times: 1792, 1834, 1862, 1933, and continuously since 1971, right? We all know what happened in 1971. Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard and basically told the international community that the U.S. would not stick to, this is a very complex topic, so I'm not going to butcher it. Let's check out the Wikipedia article. It says the Nixon shock was a series of economic measures undertaken by the United States President Richard Nixon in 1971 in response to increasing inflation, the most significant of which were wage and price freezes, surcharges on imports, and the unilateral cancellation of the direct international convertibility of the United States dollar to gold. Because before 1971, the dollar was pegged to gold, right? And then here is Walker, part of the crypto couple, says false. The U.S. defaulted four times: 1862, defaulted on demand notes; 1933, defaulted on gold bonds; 1968, refused to redeem silver certificate paper dollars for silver dollars; 1971, refused to redeem dollars held by foreign governments for gold under the Bretton Woods Agreement. So what is that but not a default, right? So, and again, like, this is what they do, right? They kind of like move the goalposts and they redefine things. How is that not a default, right? And then what happened after 1971 is that, look, check it out. The U.S. government was kind of constrained in their ability to print money because it had to be backed, you know, one-to-one with gold. After 1971, all bets were off. Right. And then there's that very famous website, right? What the F happened in 1971 and what the consequences were of that. And now, why did the United States do that in 1971? To fund the Vietnam War. Right. And how many endless wars have we had since 1971? We are sending, or, you know, the United States government, better said, is sending hundreds of millions of dollars to fight a war thousands of miles away in the Ukraine. They would not be able to do that if the dollar was backed one-to-one by gold. They wouldn't be able to afford that, right? The only way that they would be able to afford that is via direct taxation. Try raising the taxes of people, right, to fund a war that they might not necessarily agree with, right? There would literally be riots in the street. But the way that they've been able to do that now is through the hidden tax of inflation, right? So they just print the money, and that's how they're able to afford things. But make no mistake, that is a tax. Make no mistake, you are getting poor. Make no mistake, that is a redistribution of assets, a redistribution of wealth from the lower and middle classes, and it's redistributed to the government and the very wealthy that do have the means to save in assets, therefore benefit from asset inflation. So again, like, I think that there are some things that Yellen said were true, but the idea that the U.S. has not defaulted on its debt, that is a lie. That is propaganda. That is a spin, right? Constantly changing the goalposts, getting to a point where, hey, we can't pay for things anymore. You know that Bretton Woods agreement that we agreed to? you know, after World War II, yeah, that, you know, U.S. dollar backed 1-to-1 by gold. Well, we can't adhere to that anymore. That is a default. That is a default, you know. But again, I don't think that they see it that way. I don't think that they define it that way. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the propaganda is strong with this one. And obviously, I think it's kind of fitting that it's coming from Janet Yellen herself. But I think to one of your points, you know, the best propaganda is filled with half-truths. And so hence why there is some truth sprinkled in there. But I mean, we talk about it all the time, like, what the fuck happened in 1971? Go to WTF happened in 1971.com and just look at the charts for yourself. Like, the receipts are there. And then just to touch on some of the things she said, you know, U.S. Treasury is the safest investment, lol. That is Bitcoin, in my opinion. What else she said? Not in a recession, like, lol. Yeah, because you guys redefined the terms. And then I think the most fitting part is what that whole little segment was about, is her saying the silent part out loud. Like, they're scared of the dollar being undermined because it literally takes away their power if they don't have the money printer. And this is what they're really afraid of, because as we've been continuously covering on this show, the unproductive class, the politicians, the central bankers, the high-level parasites, the monetary demons, they don't provide any value to society. And so the only way that they're able to leech off society is by continuously having the power of the money printer. So, you know, if you can disintermediate that, if you can take away that power, then what are they going to do? They're going to have to actually provide value to society. And it's something that they can't do, or else they wouldn't be politicians. Like, it's just amazing. I'm never not amazed by the amount of propaganda in clown world. And I say it all the time. It feels like we are peaking clown world propaganda. And yet again, we see more videos like this that is just simply laughable if it wasn't so terrifying what these people really want to do. It's, you know, I think I'm dropping a short later today that is basically of a rant of Nico last week. It's like, what do they want to do? They want to keep you enslaved on the fiat system, and they're going to try to frame it in any way possible to maintain that power. And Bitcoin takes away that power if you take Bitcoin into self-custody. So, you know, it's all connected. And this is why we're in the place that we are right now, is because of these politicians that have continuously been able to steal from us, as Pierre Rochard said 5 times throughout the history of the U.S., you know, of our country here. So Bitcoin fixes this.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, and the reason that she's saying that statement, right, is it's all about raising the debt ceiling. Right. That's literally what this is about. It's a political statement. And at the same time, it's like, look, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the U.S. government won't be able to meet its obligations. Right. But at the same time, right, it's really interesting that they say that, because, look, at the end of the day, the United States government consistently every single year spends more money than it collects in taxes, right? So it's deficit spending. How are they able to afford that deficit spending? Theoretically, it's about selling bonds, but no one has the money to buy those bonds in the open market. So who ends up buying the bonds? The bonds are just put on the Fed's balance sheet. So it's like this like weird black magic behind the scenes. And who's the loser of all this? The loser of all this is the lower and middle classes. I would say even the upper middle class. If you don't have the means to save in assets, you are getting poorer. If you save in cash, if you earn in cash, all this spending, of which they cannot afford, right, in the first place, is making you poorer. Are you benefiting from a lot of these things that they're spending money on? Are you benefiting? I don't think so. I think the only benefactors are the contillionaire class, or the class in DC that are closest to the money spigot. Everybody else gets hurt, man. So this is all, you know, this is all like it's a circus show, but this is what Bitcoin is all about. Bitcoin gives you the individual, right, to opt out of the system, put your worth, your energy, your time, your work into an asset that cannot be debased, It can't be easily confiscated. It can't be easily censored. And this is what the Bitcoin revolution is all about. If you're not about that, then go play in the horse and pony show, right? This is why we say Bitcoin or slavery. There you go. Participate in that madness, because that's really, really what it is. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. Let's talk about it. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. Remember, guys, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Anyways, everybody, take self-custody. Do it now. Anyways, everybody, so check this out. This article dropped by AsianMarkets.com. Exclusive SWIFT payments network access cut to crypto exchanges. Let's check out what the SWIFT network is in the first place, because then, you know, it kind of doesn't make sense. So let's give a little bit of context, right? So first of all, it stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, right? Is a Belgian cooperative society providing services related to the execution of financial transactions and payments between banks worldwide, right? Typically, if it's a domestic transfer, you don't really use the SWIFT system, but for international banking transactions, you will use SWIFT more than likely. Okay, so as of 2018, around half of high value cross border payments worldwide used SWIFT network, and in 2015, SWIFT linked more than 11,000 financial institutions in over 200 countries and territories, who were exchanging an average of over 32 million messages per day, compared to an average of 2.4 million daily messages in 1995. So obviously, it's a big deal, and it's a big system of which, you know, facilitates a lot of international trade. So let's check out what happens. This is an article dropped January 21st, 2023. It goes on to say SWIFT payments network access cut to crypto exchanges. Goes on to say an extraordinary decision involving the global SWIFT payment network could have widespread implications on cryptocurrencies. Asian markets can reveal banks, including New York Signature Bank, will no longer process fiat currency transactions to cryptocurrency exchanges with a value of less than $100,000 via the SWIFT network, effective from February 1st, 2023. What the F, right? Hold on a second. So these are the same people virtue signaling that, like, they want inclusivity and you know, and equality and all those things. And, you know, words are cheap, actions are real, right? Anyways, the move will thwart cryptocurrency access to potentially thousands of customers. One of the first crypto giants to notify users of the development this weekend has been the world's largest exchange, Binance. Quote, the banking partner that services your account has advised that they are no longer able to process SWIFT fiat transactions for individuals of less than $100,000 USD as of February 1st, 2023. This is the case for all their crypto exchange clients, said Binance. Quote, please be advised that until we are able to find an alternative solution, it's going to be difficult, you may not be able to use your bank account to buy and sell crypto with USD via SWIFT with a value of less than $100,000 USD. Update. Goes on to say, one of our fiat banking partners, Silvergate Bank, has advised that it will no longer support any of its crypto exchange customers with buying and selling amounts of less than $100,000 as of February 1st, 2023. This is the case for all their crypto exchange clients. Quote, as a result, some individual users may not be able to use SWIFT bank transfers to buy or sell crypto with $4 USD for amounts less than $100,000. Growing concerns. Although SWIFT is the world's most critical financial network, facilitating trillions worth of international money settlements daily, it is a somewhat secretive Belgian-based cooperative. Right there. That's the dagger. You hear that? Remember, they call us shadowy supercoders. Remember, they say that what we do is in the shadows. What I'm going to say is they're obfuscating and they're projecting what it is they do themselves, right? Remember, as Swift, and it says in the article, Swift was in the headlines following the outbreak of war in Ukraine last year when the United States and its allies cut off Russia from the network, right? So obviously Swift is politically controlled. Who was behind this decision? But it's not only Swift, right? Swift is very important, right? We got into the details of it. It's also domestic U.S. banks as well. And this has been happening for quite a while now. JP Morgan Chase, shout out Jamie Dimon, reportedly shuts down bank accounts of Bitcoin mining firm. It goes on to say, shout out to Chase for shutting down Compass Mining accounts, for doing our part to replace the old guard with self-sovereign, future-focused supporters of hard money. Get behind Bitcoin or get out of the way, right? Of course, Compass Mining does not have a good reputation, but it's not only, you know, Compass Mining that, you know, did some questionable ethical things, to say the least, to put it gently, right? It's also just the average everyday person. It says major U.S. banks hostile towards Bitcoin, accounts at risk of closure, cryptocurrency businesses prohibited. Goes on to say, we went undercover to try open. This is from an article from Crypto Slate for audio listeners. It goes on to say, we went undercover to try and open accounts at four of our largest U.S. banks, telling them ahead of time that we will use the account to buy and sell Bitcoin on Coinbase. It goes on to say, the verdict is, in personal accounts are at risk of being closed and accounts for cryptocurrency related businesses are all right prohibited. It goes on to say, U.S. banks. Of the six U.S. banks we visited, U.S. Bank was the most hostile towards opening an account that deals in cryptocurrency. You have Bank of America. Quote, cryptocurrency exchanges or digital currency exchanges are businesses that allow customers to trade cryptocurrencies, virtual or digital currencies for other assets. Has Wells Fargo in this list. It has Chase Bank. Chase Bank specifically says, quote, opening a cryptocurrency account for businesses is prohibited. So you get the point that I'm trying to say, right? This is obviously, you know, the established players are just not friendly towards the industry, right? And I think that they're using a lot of what happened with FTX as an excuse, as a justification for a lot of these actions. But I think the Swift is a major escalation of those things, right? So, man, I don't know how this ends. I don't know where this goes. But I don't know, Opti, does this surprise you at all?
Not at all. I mean, it's like what everyone's saying in the chat, man. Like, they're scared and they're trying to cut off the escape routes. I think the most surprising part of that is that 100K minimum statute there. It's like, if you're rich, then by all means, like, you can do what you want with your money. Like, this is to protect you, little citizen. You know, like, if you don't have money to speculate, then we're helping you out by ensuring that you can't use the network. But I mean, I think this is just what we've been saying for a while. Remember what Christine Lagarde said, if there's an escape, people will use it. And so they're just trying to figure out ways to stop, you know, average citizens from escaping debasement, escaping the fiat system. And then also to, like, put some dots together of what we've been talking about on this show for a long time. I mean, now just think about these people, these very same, the very same class of people that are doing this are the ones that are telling you that they want to have a global CBDC. And so you already know where they're going to go down. Like, you already know what path they really want for you, the average person. They don't want you to be using freedom money. And this is why we tell you guys consistently to take Bitcoin into self-custody. Use, you know, Pine, Moon, Breeze, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Seed Signer, Cold Card, Jade, Sparrow, Spectre, Zeus. Like, you need to use these tools, these freedom tools, because we have them at our disposal now. You just download them for free or buy yourself a hardware signing device and then tell other people to do the same thing. Because if they are doing this on the legacy system, just imagine what they're going to do when they try to usher in a whole new system that literally gives them complete control over every single transaction that you make. Like, this is why Bitcoin was created. And am I surprised? Not at all. They're absolutely terrified, because we know that Bitcoin is continuously winning. Bitcoin is going into the mainstream consciousness, and more people are waking up to the scam that is the status quo. So, you know, again, Bitcoiners just stay winning. As Nico says all the time on this show, Bitcoin incentives are just so strong that people are opting out of the system, and they're trying to backclaw any of that control as possible. So, of course, they're going to try to stop the leakage from the fiat system going into the Bitcoin network, or, you know, into the shitcoin space to help protect the little guy. So I'm not surprised at all. Obviously, this is terrifying if you really like lead it down to the logical conclusions of like, oh, wait, the fiat system can literally shut me off at will. And this is why we Bitcoin. This is why we show up every single day to tell you guys to take Bitcoin into self-custody. This is why we continuously counter the legacy media FUD, because Bitcoin is a solution. And anyone that is not telling you to take Bitcoin into self-custody is suspect, in my opinion. So what are we going to do? We're going to continuously tell people to take Bitcoin into self-custody and give you guys the tools. So, hey, man, am I surprised? Not really. As I said, we are in peak clown world now, and how long will that go? Who knows? But
it's going to be interesting to see, because like this is an escalation. Like the Swift thing is huge news, right? But it's supposedly it's only Signature Bank. Let's see if more detail. Like let's say if it's the Swift thing in general, and I think that if that's the case, that is a major deal, specifically for international users trying to send fiat to you know, the shitcoin casino, which is Binance, right? And will that eventually affect other exchanges as well? You know, potentially Bitcoin exchanges. Is this something to keep, you know, to keep on top of? And again, if it was just by itself, if this news was just standing by itself, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. But the fact that you have a pattern from other banks, right? It was JP Morgan, you have Bank of America, you have Wells Fargo, that have been openly hostile towards Bitcoin businesses and people just purchasing Bitcoin from their personal accounts, I think is alarming. And I think it's something to stay on top of and to be aware of. And guys, this is part of it. This is part of the separation of money and state. This is part of the peaceful revolution. We'll stay on top of it because that's what we do at Simply Bitcoin. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys. So as I told you in the beginning, and I brought this up in the past, I read the Brains Bitcoin Mining Handbook, I don't know what it was, like a month or two ago. And the intro, as the headline here is, Bitcoin mining is not solving complex math problems, a beginner's guide. I think this is one of the great illustrations and ways to explain Bitcoin mining. And there's continuously still a lot of people that parody the idea that Bitcoin mining is solving complex math problems. And obviously the fiat system, the legacy media continuously uses that description to denigrate Bitcoin's energy use and try to angle proof of work as being wasteful, and, you know, try to ensure that our consensus models get moved to proof of stake. But I think it's upon us to continuously try to illustrate the best way so people understand what's going on in Bitcoin. And we're continuously hearing the same meme of Bitcoin solving complex math problems. So I'm here on the Brains blog. This is also on the Bitcoin mining handbook that they released. And this is where I first heard it. And then I saw that they actually released this on their website, so I can bring it up to you guys so that not only I spread the signal, but more people that are new to the channel understand what is actually going on. So again, Bitcoin mining is not solving complex math problems, a beginner's guide. Bitcoin mining and difficulty adjustments explained in non-technical terms using a simple dice analogy. And I love this analogy, and this is why I wanted to bring it up to the show. Like I tell you guys, you know, I have friends and family that watch the show, and they're still all confused. So Again, going back to some basics, so hopefully more people can get up. Anyways, most people misunderstand what Bitcoin miners actually do, and as a result, they don't fully grasp the level of security provided by Bitcoin's hash rate. In this article, we'll explain proof of work and counter the misinformation about supercomputers and quantum computers attacking the Bitcoin network in the future. So simply put, mining is a lottery to create new blocks in the Bitcoin blockchain, and there are two main purposes: to permanently add transactions to the blockchain without permission of any entity, and to fairly distribute the 21 million Bitcoin supply by rewarding miners who spend real world resources, i.e. electricity, to secure the network. So to understand what is actually happening in this lottery system, let's look at a simple analogy where every Bitcoin hash is equivalent to a dice roll. Imagine that miners in the Bitcoin network are all individuals gambling at a casino. In this example, each of these gamblers have a 1,000-sided dice. They roll their die as quickly as possible, trying to get a number less than 10. Statistically, this may take a very long time, but as more gamblers join the game, the time it takes to hit a number less than 10 gets reduced. In short, more gamblers equals quicker rounds. Once somebody successfully rolls a number less than 10, all gamblers at the table can look down and verify the number. This lucky gambler takes the prize money and the next round begins. Ultimately, the process of mining Bitcoin is very similar. All miners on the network are using ASICs, which are specialized computers designed to compute hashes as quickly as possible. And to compute a hash simply means plugging in any random input into a mathematical function and producing an output. More hashes per second, i.e. higher hash rate, is equivalent to more dice rolls per second, and thus a greater probability of success. Miners propose a potential Bitcoin block of transactions and use this for an input. The block is plugged into a SHA-256 hash function, which yields a fixed size output known as a hash. A single hash can be computed in less than a millisecond as it involves no complex math. All that is saying is that these ASICs are literally spitting out numbers and trying to, as they're showing, roll the correct number on their dice, or lower number than 10 in this analogy of a 1,000-sided dice. So if the hash value is lower than the Bitcoin network difficulty, then the miner who proposed the block wins. If not, then the miner continues trying by computing more hashes. The successful miner's block is then added to the blockchain. The miner is rewarded with newly issued Bitcoin for the work, and the next round begins. And here they use the analogy to counter the misinformation about quantum computers and supercomputers. So assigning the most powerful supercomputers to mine Bitcoin would be comparable to hiring a grandmaster chess player to move a pile of bricks by hand. The job would get done eventually, but the chess player is better at playing chess than exerting energy repeatedly bricks. Likewise, combining the computing power of the most powerful supercomputers in the world and using them to mine Bitcoin would essentially be pointless when compared to ASIC machines used today. ASICs are designed to do one thing as quickly and efficiently as possible, whereas a supercomputer is designed to do complicated tasks or math problems. Since Bitcoin mining is a lottery based on random trial and error rather than complex math, specialization ASICs beats general excellence supercomputers every time. Now, let's get into the difficulty adjustment and the 10-minute block time. Now that you understand the randomness of miners finding a block, it is important to understand block times and difficulty. In our gambling example, imagine that anybody can join or leave the table at any time. If one person is rolling a 1,000-sided die trying to get less than a 10, it will take them an average of 10 minutes to hit the number. Sometimes they'll hit in 1 minute, other times in 30. If a new person steps up to the table and starts rolling collectively, it will take them an average of 5 minutes for somebody to win a round. If 20 people step up, this time is shortened. And in order to keep the game interesting, we want an average winner every 10 minutes. So to do this, we can simply adjust the dice target. As additional gamblers step up to the table, the rules will change, e.g. gamblers must now roll a number less than 5 to win, so that the average remains 10 minutes per round. As more gamblers join, the casino makes winning harder. If gamblers leave, they make it easier. This is exactly what the Bitcoin network regulates mining to maintain a steady issuance schedule of new Bitcoin to get to that 21 million Bitcoin. Miners compute hashes below the target difficulty every 10 minutes on average, and every 2016 blocks, roughly 2 weeks, the average for those blocks is calculated and the difficulty is adjusted to bring back time block times back to 10 minutes. And this is how we have a truly transparent supply. The difficulty adjustments described above make Bitcoin the only asset with a truly fixed and known supply schedule. Since inception, we've known two things: there will never be more than 21 million Bitcoins, and every 10 minutes, more Bitcoin is newly issued as we approach that 21 million number. In every other industry, the supply fluctuates based on demand. If demand increases, then the manufacturer can increase production to match the demand. And Bitcoin supply is locked in and cannot change. Therefore, demand and price are tied more closely than any other industry or asset classes. And this sounds cut and dry, but it gets interesting when you try to understand what miners do with their newly issued coins and the impact of this on the market. So I said all that because not only is this a great article, and this is something that I think many people are misinformed about, I really love the dice analogy. And I think if we can continuously try to illustrate to people what Bitcoin mining is as simple as possible, then more people will start to understand why Bitcoin, why Bitcoiners do what they do, why Bitcoin miners are hashing hashes for Bitcoin blocks. Like, it's a very simple process. And the more I hear people on the legacy media say that Bitcoin computers are wasting energy because they're solving complex math problems, the more you can understand that these people are completely misinformed and they don't understand what Bitcoin is. So again, just to use this analogy, I think this is something that we can continuously help our normies, friends, our friends and family out there by trying to break down Bitcoin mining as simple as possible. And I really like this dice analogy. A 1,000-sided die, and all we're trying to do is find a number lower than 10. Like, that's the best way I've heard about what Bitcoin mining is. And I think that we can continuously steal this meme and spread it out there as far as possible. So shouts out to the Brains team for breaking down what Bitcoin mining is in a very non-technical way, because this is all we're doing. As Bitcoin, as we go more into the mainstream and more into the popular culture consciousness, we're going to have to continuously tell people the very same thing as they all, you know, get up to speed of what Bitcoin is. And again, I just love this analogy. And I saw that they dropped this article on their website. So it's not just in a book form. It's out there on the internet so more people can try to understand what's going on. Anyways, Nico, you are a Bitcoin miner, or was a Bitcoin miner. And I don't know what you think about this analogy and how how has your orange pill journey been telling people what it is?
I am so glad that you covered this, because like most people, the reality is, right, that they don't get exposure to the back end infrastructure side of Bitcoin. OK, their exposure is mostly as the user side. Right. And because of that, people don't have that that appreciation and how unique Bitcoin is compared to basically all the other shit coins. Right. The fact is, right, that Bitcoin's hash rate is like nothing comes close. And like if it, for example, like since Ethereum moved to proof of stake, the last stat that I saw of this was that, like, I think it's like 93 or 94% of all proof of work mining right now is Bitcoin, right? The hash rate, what the hash rate represents is an estimation of the amount of computational power actively backing or mining the Bitcoin network, and in the process, right, securing the Bitcoin network. So if you wanted to computationally attack Bitcoin, you would have to match its hash rate. And that hash rate continues to reach all-time highs, even after the Chinese Communist Party banned Bitcoin mining within its borders, even after, right, this market downturn, people continue to mine Bitcoin. And the more they mine it, the higher the hash rate, theoretically, the more secure the Bitcoin network is. The more secure the Bitcoin network is, the higher the value proposition of Bitcoin. This thing is unstoppable. You can't stop the honey badger. It's designed to be attacked. So bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. And now here's like an interesting type of game theory, thinking behind it, right? Which is, even if, let's say, a hostile government accumulated, you know, enough hash power, right? Which, you know, very difficult to do that because of the decentralization of Bitcoin miners. it would just be more profitable for them just to mine it than to try to attack it. That's the beauty of Bitcoin. The incentives are aligned. And I'm really glad that you covered that. And shout out to the Brains team's huge fan, right, for making that very easy to read for the average everyday Bitcoiner that perhaps you weren't exposed to that side of Bitcoin, right? The reality is that, like I said earlier, the reality is that most people get into Bitcoin as a user, right? They buy Bitcoin, they stack Bitcoin, right? Very few actually try to mine it. But I do recommend it. Like, even if you think that you're not going to, even if you think it's not going to be necessarily very profitable, right? Because you shouldn't approach it that way. You should approach it as a learning experience, right? Because that's really what you're not going to make money mining the first time. It has an extremely high learning curve, right? But approach it from let me learn something about it. Start with one S9. They're very cheap, right? Plug it in, see how it feels. You're either going to love it, or you're going to be like, this isn't for me. But I do, try it out. Give it a go. You're going to learn something about Bitcoin that most people don't know about. You're going to have an appreciation of Bitcoin that most people just never see. And you're going to understand that Bitcoin is backed by the largest decentralized computing network in the world. So when someone tells you that Bitcoin isn't backed by anything, clearly they don't know what the F they're talking about. Now you know. Now you know. You should send them that article too. This is great for those Thanksgiving discussions. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the meme review. Let's check it out.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Oh man, that Kaboom Rack. All right, guys, you already know this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. Continuously tag us in the memes. I will put them on the show. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. This is an information war, so all the content creation out there, I think, is putting your hat in the ring. And, you know, most of the people on Twitter, they just absolutely love the memes. But continue to get the calls of actions out there. Continue to put truth to art so that more people understand what's going on in Bitcoin. And, you know, a lot of people have ADD out there, so they need the meme form. They need the memes out there. So first one is by @BTCDelica, and he goes, Bitcoin, not your keys, not your coin, points down. And he goes, excuse me, sir. Did you withdraw your Bitcoin from exchanges? And it's this dog sticking his head through a little cat door. Okay, this is all we do every single day. Next one, shouts out to Maxi's Club, and he goes 284. No one. And we got a mom and a son or a child at story time. He goes, Mom, tell me a scary story. And the mother goes, Fiat is backed by nothing, and no one cares. Absolutely terrifying. That's the scariest thing I've ever heard. And this is why we Bitcoin. This next one, shouts out to our friend Mike Hobart, a.k.a. Dr. Doom. And this is a George Orwell quote from 1984. And this is, I think, you know, always have to reiterate these kind of messages because this is where we are right now. Football, beer, and above all, gambling filled up the horizons of their minds to keep them in control was not difficult. This is the uphill battle that us Bitcoiners are continuously dealing with in the everyday life. It's very hard to convince someone to go into hard money when they are following the bread and circuses. Next one by Ghost of MTC. And he goes, terrible choice, but here we are. And it's the meme of this. Usually it's a superhero guy about the pick which button. And he goes, embrace sound money or hard fork humanity. And of course, they want a hard fork humanity. And I forget who this guy is. Anyways, old rich guy in a suit. This next one is by @BitcoinWisdom. He goes, I can't stop educating myself about Bitcoin. And we got Lisa early in the morning drinking some coffee. And the coffee is titled Bitcoin Podcast, Bitcoin Twitter, and Bitcoin Books. And it's just me already all in, continuously devouring the Bitcoin content. This next one, shouts out to Copernicus, @CopernicusSun, 6 on Twitter. And we got a guy with a, I think he's bleeding. He's got a hole in his back and it's got a Bitcoin logo. And it goes, I love Hugh with all my sats. And his girl goes, what? And he goes, heart, I love you with all my heart. Savage. All right, this next one. Alan B. Watts. He goes, BTC, a portal to a better world. And I absolutely love this meme. You know, it's a guy walking through a digital landscape and the door going into the galaxy is the Bitcoin logo. I think this is a super, super cool view right here. Love this art piece. I think he just put the Bitcoin logo on another art piece, but I love it. Shouts out to you, Alan Watts. Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah. I got my meme review score chat right here, but drop yours in the chat so that we can cover it live on the show. I've been holding on to this one. Remember, I told you my sister bought me a gag gift of a bunch of Bitcoin stickers. So this one is I told you so with the Bitcoin logo. And also, it kind of has that like the Obama change branding on it. Be the change you want to see in the world. Okay. All right, Nico, what is your meme review score?
Dude, my meme review score. BTC Pins presents limited edition FOSS.
Hold it higher. You're zoomed in all.
Look at that.
Right.
Shout out BTC Pins. That's my meme review score. Anyways, guys, this is Simply Bitcoin Live. I know, right? Yeah. This is Simply Bitcoin Live. So while you guys drop us the meme score so we can read them live on air, I want to give a shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor, representltd.com. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. This hoodie is already sold out. You guys were late. You can take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin. Opti, show off the decentralized hoodie that you're wearing. Only on representltd.com. You could use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get a 10% discount, anything off the store. Oh, don't forget to look at that. It's beautiful. Awesome merch. Anyways, Opti, let's get to some of these scores. Okay. I'm going to start with Nihilus Fields. Opti, Netflix and chilling with Jenny Yellen louder watching Charlie in the Chocolate Factory while she role plays an Oompa Loompa. Igor, I give the memes. Nico saying Canute 50 times. I know how to say it now. Next one, the P-Man Van. I give the memes. Christine Lagarde's Fiat print eatable underwear.
Yeah.
Kaboom, Rex. All right. Last one. No, we got two more scores. And then the buzzer by Jasmina. I give the memes 5 chicken tenders. Very good. That's my favorite.
Chicken tendies.
And Phil C says, I give the memes 1 SBF. I'm sorry. And then the buzzer. Guys, check out the written version
of
this show. We're dropping hot fire. Check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered, www.simplybitcoin.news. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. There's over 700 people in there. www.t.me/simplybitcointv. Every Sunday, also, shout out Darth is throwing a Twitter Spaces, but on Telegram. So I think it's called a Telegram Spaces. Anyways, if you guys need your fix of Simply Bitcoin, definitely check out the Telegram Spaces every Sunday. Shout out Darth for holding it down. Anyways, everybody, we got a pleb site. Let's check it out.
Pleb sites.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
Oops, forgot to bring it up. All right, guys. So today's site is thebitcoinvortex.com. So shout out to Nico. He hit me to this one. But join and represent yourself in the South Florida Bitcoin community as we gather for our first Bitcoin Vortex, a confluence of Bitcoin meetups highlighting the expanding efforts to bring education and adaption to the future of money. So here's a bunch of events for the Bitcoin Vortex. And the Bitcoin Vortex and all participating events exist due to the efforts of the South Florida Bitcoin community. So I think Nico will probably show up at some of these, right? 100%. Like this is your neck of the woods. So if you are in South Florida, go check out the BitcoinVortex.com. Or if you're going to travel down to Florida, check out when these dates are and when these events are. And maybe you can hang out with Nico in person. Maybe next time I'm down there, we'll have to... maybe make it to one of those.
100%. Speaking of events, guys, you don't want to miss BitBlock Boom. You don't want to miss Unconfiscatable. Definitely go check out BitBlockBoom.com. Awesome Bitcoin event in Austin, Texas. Don't want to miss it. Promo code SimplyBitcoin. Get a big discount to that event. And also the Unconfiscatable event and poker tournament in Las Vegas, Nevada. Promo code SIMPLY10. Get a big discount to those tickets. Of course, Opti and I will be there as well. Guys, we love you all. Don't forget to check out the audio version of Simply Bitcoin. Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain, Opti pulls up the Fountain. In fact, the plebsite segment or the software. What do you want, Opti? We should leave it on the plebsite. On the plebsite segment, we will be reading out the Fountain comments that you guys are so kind to drop us over the week. So definitely check that out. Guys, we love you all. Thank you so much for joining us. Another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing and share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Push the peaceful revolution forward. The party will continue all the way to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Opti will be holding down the spaces with our friends over at swanbitcoin.com. Best place to stack sats with the one, the only legendary producer, Jacob. Anyways, guys, love you all. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Keep an eye out because our buddy Rustin is dropping some awesome clips as well. Keep an eye out for that one. But we'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.